Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Sean Rourke from NHL.com, friend of the show. Sean, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, man, how are you guys? How's everything in Nashville?
It's great. Good. We are looking forward and embracing for your arrival later this week. It's going to be epic.
The city's preparing for my arrival?
I think so. I think we're getting there at this point.
We need to play some more metal to prepare for Sean's arrival.
We can all go to, I think it's the End in Nashville, right? It's the big metal club. We can all go there if you want.
Yeah, we'll set that thing back up and see what we can do here. So, Sean, for those people out there who are maybe going to an outdoor hockey game for the first time on Saturday coming up at Nissan Stadium, how do you explain kind of what that's like and what makes that just totally different outside of the obvious of playing outdoors than your average NHL game?
Well, I'm assuming in Nashville or in Tennessee there's a state fair. Almost every state has one.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this is. This is the hockey state fair. Everybody's going to come together that loves hockey. They're going to celebrate for the whole day. There's the outdoor festivities, the fan fest that we do right outside the stadium. The Stanley Cup will be there. There'll be all kinds of games you can play, you know, shoot at the washing machines like Sidney Crosby, whatever you want to do, live music, beer, anything you want. And then you're going to be inside a stadium with 60,000 other people who feel the same way about the sport that you love. You know, we've done these games for so long, and there's a contingent of people that are always like, well, I think the outdoor game is, you know, past its sell-by day. But that's because they're not there. They're not wherever the game is. Where the game is, it's huge. And it literally is like it's like a concert or a state fair or whatever you want to call it. It's a collection of people that all love hockey and want to celebrate together.
Sean, you know, it's been 5 years since the Preds, you know, made that Stanley Cup final run, which I think, you know, it was a fan-making experience, you know, for a good chunk of people. I don't see how it wouldn't have been. And then since then, you've seen the ups and downs of the franchise as happens. I mean, you're trying to retain loyal fans, and I think they've built their fan base. I'm just wondering, from your perspective, what you think of the hockey community and the Preds fan base here now, how you perceive that relative to the rest of the league.
There is no separation to me. Like, they're fans just like everyone else. Like, you know, every time I come to Nashville, there's that core loyal fan. You know, you see them in the street, you see them in as you're walking around the arena, you know, and they're as invested as anybody else. I think it's a true testament to the market. Like, I've been involved with Nashville since they went to Japan 22 years ago, and they played Pittsburgh. That was my first experience with Nashville. And then, you know, I did the draft there soon after, and, you know, have been to every big event they've had there, the All-Star Game, the draft, Stanley Cup Final you're talking about. Look, their fan base may not be as big as, say, the Boston Bruins or the Montreal Canadiens or the Toronto Maple Leafs, but for sheer passion for that core group, I'd put them up against anybody in the league.
Sean Rourke from NHL.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Sean, what have been your impressions of the Predators so far this year? Obviously, they're in a four-game skid right now, but I think it's fair to say here locally they have exceeded expectations to this point for most people. What have been your impressions when you've watched the Predators play this year?
I think they have exceeded expectations. They've exceeded my expectations to a degree, but you always know that Nashville – is going to have an identity, right? There's teams in this league that play to an identity, and to me, Nashville's one of them. You know, they have some skill, but they're going to work, and they're going to outwork you, and that's what John Hines is going to demand of his team. You know, and they've done that. Some of their younger players, like Tyler Janot, have stepped up and played, I think, beyond their means, beyond their expectations. And any time, you know, you have a goalie like UC Saros, you're in it, right? When you look at the Predators right now and you see the teams surrounding them, and you say it's basically a goaltender thing, right? Like Calgary's on a huge heater. A lot of that's their goaltending. You know, Markstrom already has 8 shutouts this year. Vegas, you wonder what's going to happen, right? Lehner's not playing right now. I don't know where they are with Laurent Brossoit as their number one. I don't know how long Robin Lehner's going to be out. Edmonton was behind you guys for a while because they can't find goaltending. Their goalies have been really bad until they made their coaching change, and then they went on a little run. And even the teams behind you, you know, I think John Gibson is one of the best goalies in the league, and he's kept Anaheim right in this. And then you have, you know, Quick and the platoon there with Cal Peterson and L.A. And to me, goaltending is going to drive so much of this. And when you try and figure out that top eight, UC Saros is one of those top eight goalies to me. So I really like their chances.
Yeah, and obviously, yeah, you know, they're in a tough spot right now. I agree with you, Sean, that they've overachieved. I look at, you know, to me, it's like you get in, and we know what this tournament is, and especially if you have a goaltender like that. Do you look at this like Colorado, everybody else, and do you feel like the Avalanche are ready to do kind of what the Lightning did a couple years ago with the playoff disappointment? Do you think that they need to do anything at goaltender?
They may. Darcy Kemper's been really good lately. Until yesterday, Boston tuned them up pretty good. That's the best game I've seen the Boston Bruins play in a long time. And I believe it was the last game of a road trip for the Avalanche, who had won 7 in a row on the road, and it was in the afternoon. So you kind of want to write that one off and say, whatever. They'd been playing to like an 85% points percentage up to that point. They looked really bad yesterday. But I think you would be blind not to say that Colorado is the class of the league right now, and everybody else is chasing them. Although I do like Florida in the East, and I like Carolina in the East. So there are teams that I think are close, if not they're equal. And you can't forget about Tampa Bay, the team that we're going to see on Saturday in Nashville. They're starting to find their foot in a little bit. But I do think Colorado's the best. And it look, to me, if I'm Joe Sakic, I'm worried because Kemper has to stay healthy, and he hasn't proven that through his whole career. So, and again, I think you're right. Like, you just look a couple of years ago, the St. Louis Blues, right? They fired their coach in midseason. They were a mess. Binnington comes out of nowhere, plays lights out. They run all the way to the Stanley Cup final from a low seed, knock everybody off playing a committed style, you know, really physical, wearing teams down. And when I look at Nashville, that's what I see, right? I see a team in a long series that's going to play to wear you down, but has game breakers amongst that group that can win close playoff games, and then has a goalie that can steal a game or two. You steal 2 games in the playoffs, you're on your way in that series. So, you know, it's going to be tough to get in. You look at that West and you just kind of shake your head and you're like, wow, is that a dogfight? But if they get in, they're going to be dangerous.
John, what do you think of the opponent for the Predators tonight, the Florida Panthers? They're on the road tonight in Florida. They'll retire Pecorine's jersey on Thursday against Dallas. And then, of course, the Stadium Series. The Panthers, as you mentioned, one of the best teams in the league with Barkov and Huberto and Ekblad on the back end. What do you think of them? And do you think they have what it takes to win in the playoffs, in terms of, you know, you went through the experience last year with just a heck of a series against the Lightning? Sometimes you have to learn how to win. Do you think that this Florida Panthers team has done that?
I do, and I'm shocked, right? Because they have an interim coach in Andrew Brunette, who's, you know, picked up right in season and not missed a beat. Actually, he's made that team better. And they're so deep, you know, they go 3-4 lines. I think that was the difference when they played Tampa last year, right? Tampa's identity and the reason that Tampa's a 2-time Stanley Cup champion is because they figured out how to go 4 lines deep. And their third line has been such a killer in the playoffs, because even the best teams probably go 4 deep, right, on defense. That they're always trying to hide that third pair. I think that's fair to say of Nashville. I think that's fair to say of a lot of teams. So when you can roll out a big, talented third line and play quality minutes, you're putting the other team at a disadvantage. You're dictating the pace. And now Florida can do that. And they've done it against Tampa. So they get that. They get that confidence. They've done it against Carolina, who's the other team in the East, I think, that's really kind of the class of the East. And look, Huberto's having an MVP-type season, which is shocking because Barkov's had an MVP-type season for years and never gets noticed. So, and then they have Ekblad on the back end, and to me, he's like Roman Josi. Like, he's in that same class. And Bobrovsky's been really good. And again, that's the key, right? Well, what happened to them last year in the playoffs? They used three different goalies. They yep. brought in Spencer Knight, a rookie who had never played. He had played maybe three games during the regular season straight out of college, and they were at a point where they're like, we need to put this kid in to try and stop the bleeding. So, because Bobrovsky wasn't good. If he's good, they're a Stanley Cup. They're a team that can easily win the Stanley Cup.
So Jack Eichel on the board for Vegas. What do you think, Sean, about him, that addition, what they could be if he does find his game here moving forward?
Well, I think they can be really dangerous, and it's unbelievable, right? You look at the Vegas Golden Knights, and all they do is big game hunt. Like, look at their roster. They're an expansion team. 5 years in, they have Pacioretty, they have Stone, they had Marc-Andre Fleury, and they found him excess to needs because they went out and got a Vezina Trophy finalist in Robin Lehner. There's only three players left, I think, from that original team that went to the Stanley Cup final. Like, they never seem to be satisfied. That new shiny object in the window, whatever it is, they always want to go and get it, and somehow they find a way. But look, they're in a little bit of trouble right now, right? Mark Stone's hurt. And he's out, and it could be a Nikita Kucherov situation. He's got a bad back. He could be out for the year and come back in the playoffs when there's no salary cap. If he comes back earlier, they're going to have to tear that team apart. They're in salary cap hell. And they haven't been healthy all year, right? So they get Eichel, and now Stone's out. Lehner's out. Like, there hasn't been a time this year when the Vegas Golden Knights have been together as a team who they think they are, much like the Pittsburgh Penguins in the East, who have never had their full team, but yet both of them are up in that elite level, and you kind of wonder if they can ever get all their pieces together and they can find exactly where Eichel fits. You know, they have him on that first line, and I think that's where it's going to be, but when they find his line mates, whether, you know, Chandler Stephenson plays wing there or whether he plays third line center, because he was the first line center and was having a career year before Jack Eichel got healthy and showed up. But look, Jack Eichel's a difference maker, and I'm excited to see what he does on a good team with good line mates, and that's not a slight against Buffalo, but they're in a completely different place, and they couldn't surround him with the players that Vegas can surround him with, and they couldn't surround him with the culture that Vegas has built, right? They expect to win, and now he's just a piece. He's not the captain at 20 years old. He's not the guy that takes all the losses and has to put them on his shoulders. He can just go and play hockey, and once he gets up to speed, it's going to be breathtaking.
Sean Rourke from NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Sean, appreciate you taking time to join us today. Looking forward to seeing you later this week, buddy.
Yeah, I can't wait to get in there. I hope all the provisions are stocked up, barbecue, everything else, because I'm coming in hot.
we got you.
We got it all prepared. That's right. Sean, appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Sean Rourke from NHL.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react to what Sean had to say. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. One of the things I love about my betting my favorite sports is that I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine prop bets from multiple games and now even multiple sports as well. It's called Same Game Parlay Plus, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Combine NBA player props you love with your favorite NHL scores for your chance to score an even bigger payout. So maybe you like Steph Curry on the over for points. Maybe you like Connor McDavid of the Oilers over on points as well. You can do that. If you don't want to build your own same game parlay, you can check out their popular same game parlay section where you can join the bets of other users are jumping on. 2 weeks ago, over 14,000 customers won a total of $1.1 million during the Bucks and Lakers game. So lots of money available to you. on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Make every moment more and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is not withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, some Led Zeppelin. Been a big day for you here on the program.
See,
I know, like, you're not going to be able to focus.
Well, and this is one of those that, like, you know, really we need to let the, like, we need to let it play for about 5 minutes to get to, like, the part where they start jamming, but we probably shouldn't. So
yeah, we should not let it.
For those of you who know the song "Over the Hills and Far Away," you know, you can play out the rest in your head and then air guitar and bang your head. Sean Rourke, I'm sure, would be banging his head to this song.
I'm sure that he will.
Although he likes death metal stuff.
Like. Oh yeah, like shouting and screaming and throwing people around. Yeah,
he thinks good stuff. Metallica is like weak '80s ballad making band.
Were you a big heavy metal guy?
Well, like I said, I love early Metallica, little Anthrax, little Megadeth. So yeah. You know some.
Sean's sure. A big Megadeth guy.
And, of course, Dave Mustaine was originally in Metallica.
Yeah.
And they got rid of him. I think he was trying to, like, sacrifice chickens as they were on the road. And they were like, yeah, Mustaine, you got to get out of here, man.
Man, we can't be having any of that. You leave him chickens alone, dude.
At least that's how I recall the behind the music. But I don't know. I could be wrong. He was cutting the heads off something. Dave Mustaine was a little bit more in the, like, you know, Not quite aligned with the other Metallica guys in vision. But I've been to a Megadeth concert, too, I'll have you know.
Have you really?
At K-Wing Stadium in Kalamazoo, Michigan, about 10 miles from Climax, Michigan. So thank you very
good.
Much.
Very yes. good. It's good stuff.
I don't have time to tell you all the stories from that one, but let me tell you something. That was a mosh pit.
And Rexford was in the center of it.
Are those days gone now? Like, are the mosh pit days just totally by the wayside at this point?
Like in society or for me?
Yeah.
In society.
No, in society. Like I don't really ever hear about anybody going to a concert anymore and getting in a mosh pit.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, there was that really tragic accident, remember, at the Travis Scott concert earlier this year?
Yeah, but wasn't that more of like it wasn't really a mosh pit. It was like people just rushing to get in. Like, wasn't that what that was?
It was like the like crowd crush.
Just
and then you,
crazy yeah. concertness. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah. that was it. I wasn't 100% sure. I thought it was something around the crowds. But, yeah, I haven't really – I'm not a big mosh pitter.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really see it. So I'm assuming it's over. It's probably good. It can,
yeah.
It can hurt. And I'm big, so it can hurt. Just enjoy the music.
Joe, you just go, I'm big.
I mean, on the way of the stage dive. You don't see much of those anymore either.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Like crowd surfing, Rob?
Yeah, like the you know, yeah. like Jack Black jumping off the stage and then no one catching him, you know?
I would totally do that if I was a pop star.
I don't trust people anywhere near enough. There's no way I'd do it. Like I don't even trust my friends to do that stuff. I'm not trusting total strangers.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, you're right, though. It used to be better back in the day, didn't it? One more example.
Yes, it did. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ricky texting in. So the mosh pits at every music festival, minus Christmas. So I guess no Christmas mosh pits out there.
So there are still mosh pits?
Apparently.
Okay. Because most of the concerts I go to now are, like, you know, concerts from artists of, like, my era, and it's like older people who are like having like a Merlot, you know. So
yeah.
Although the Snoop Dogg concert was kind of rocking, but there was no mosh pits.
You went to a Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, we talked about that. Katie and I went.
Oh, yeah.
We saw Snoop Dogg about 7 years ago.
Yeah. He's coming here soon.
Like I said, he smoked on stage a lot during that. I just knew he wouldn't do it at the Super Bowl.
He's going to be here soon.
Snoop is touring
Snoop?
Here? Yeah. Okay. I'd love to. I mean, if they could take that whole halftime show on the road, what a killing that would make.
I went to a Bob Seger concert at Bridgestone a few years ago. By far the youngest person in the building by about 20 years. I was by far.
I'm actually upset that I didn't go to that. And you know, Tom Petty, I'll never live that down. Decided not to go to Tom Petty a few years ago. Rest in peace, Tom Petty.
Yeah. Good call by you.
All-time
there.
Great. That was
good.
I know.
Make sure you're careful out there. The rain's starting to move into the area. Storms moving into the area. So make sure you're careful out there on that end. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris Mason coming up at 9:30. Joe, what did you think about what Sean had to say there of the Predators and his view on them in terms of the way that they play and how that could translate to a playoff series? More of a wear-you-down style of play that gives the Predators a chance to get some of these upper echelon teams, because it did seem like Sean thinks there's a degree of separation between Colorado, not only every team in the West, but it sounded like every team in the East as well. Colorado, the heavy favorite.
Yeah, but I also, I think either of those teams who were Preds division mates last year could give Colorado a series. And I also think that, you know, expecting the Stanley Cup playoffs to go chalky is usually probably not a good thought, because usually
doesn't
it doesn't.
Well.
Right. I mean, something wacky happens. So I think, look, I agree with the general assessment that, like, when you have a goaltender like this, and it is kind of amazing, the Preds here in Pekka-Rinne week, that UC Saros has become what he is, you know, after those years of Pecorino. There are teams out there, there are franchises out there that go a long time trying to find, you know, goaltenders of that quality. But that's why, that's the number one reason why you have to look at them and take them seriously as a playoff team if they get in. And of course, if they don't get in, that's a huge failure in the second half of the season. But along with the style of play, and the Blues comparison is obvious. The Blues comparison is an obvious one based on style of play. And for them, it was a okay goaltender who was playing above his head. For the Preds, I think we see that, like, it would not be an out-of-body experience for UC Saros to win playoff games and steal some, too.
I will say, though, he's given up at least three goals in every game since coming off the break,
yep.
You know, including four last time out against Carolina, four against Winnipeg, four against Dallas. Now, look, we could go through every goal if you want to, and I could probably find maybe two of them, maybe three of them that you would say, well, Saros, probably need to have that one. So there's way
more
to it.
That's still more than we're used to. Yeah.
That's more than we're used to. Like, are you concerned about his play coming off of the break as they move forward here? And maybe not concerned about the way he's played, but going back to the same conversation, like, are you concerned about them at some point wearing him into the ground as they move forward here?
Yes. And that's why I think we may find out soon. David Rittich. In goal tonight?
You going to call your shot?
I mean, I'm just going based on what John Hines, the news he broke on our show, which is only news that he broke if it actually plays out today.
Happens.
But, I think it's going to be Rittich tonight, because it just the way he answered that question sounded to me like someone who had a clear plan in mind for that. And you know, again, knowing what this week is, last segment or a couple segments ago, we're talking about how it's very rare for a jersey retirement to take place and the players, active players, to actually really know the person well and be close with that person and have been teammates with that person. Especially that's true of UC Saros. I mean, that's his mentor in life. You know, I don't know about in life. That's certainly his mentor in hockey.
Maybe in life.
And cooking, you know, salmon and everything else, you know, like figuring out how to do some adulting in the Nashville world. So, I mean, that's a big deal. I think it makes sense to give him a few days, clear his head, and then get ready for two huge games and two huge events.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Chris Mason, former Preds goalie, now Preds TV analyst. We'll get his thoughts on the game tonight, get his thoughts on Pecorine, having his jersey retirement as well. C-Mace, good friends with Pecorine, former teammates with Pecorine as well. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst. Looking forward to getting his thoughts on the Predators as they take on Florida tonight. By the way, Sergei Bobrovsky will be the goalie tonight. Not that that's some huge surprise, but he will be the goalie tonight against the Predators. That to me still is a big question with Florida. Like, Bobrovsky's always been a good goalie, and then he'll go through a stretch where he just completely falls apart. And hopefully, if you're the Panthers, that does not come in the playoffs.
Right.
You can. You've seen it.
Yeah, you got to hit the right window with him. But I mean, I guess that's true. A lot of goalies. But
it is. I feel like his is a little bit more extreme. Like, yeah, he's really, really good. And then he can just completely hit the skids.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens on that.
Yeah, it's interesting with, you know, I just, with Colorado too. I mean, Darcy Kuemper, he's been very good, but did you feel like if you're them, I mean, you are so good. You are at your best. You are the best team. You got to win it this year. Is it time to just absolutely say, don't leave anything to chance? Is Marc-Andre Fleury, is he the answer?
I think there's a chance that might happen. We'll see what happens on that front. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. C-Mace, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Not too bad. Just in the hotel lobby and getting the Starbucks with my good friend Lindsey Rowley.
Very nice. Shout out to Lindsey here on the program. So, C-Mace.
Shout out to Lindsey.
What do you think of the Predators and where they are right now? Obviously, results-wise, it's not gone well since the All-Star break. You've lost four in a row. What do you see right now in their game?
Yeah. Well, I just think, you know, there's little parts in their game that are kind of getting away from them. I think we've said about this every time we talk about this team is they play extremely hard. You know, they've found a way to hang their hat on that blue-collar work ethic and the way that they play, so that's never an issue. But you know, there's parts in games where you know, they're getting, I think, out zone timed, and to me,
I think we may have lost C-Mace.
Sorry, guys. Skillsy,
oh, he's just, back. He's back.
Skillsy was just calling me there, and I had to get rid of him there. But so I got everyone all over me right now.
So, you're under siege.
Yes, I am. So, you know, it's just kind of figuring, I think, out the balance of their game. And I think defensively, there's been some shortcomings lately. They've given up way too much. I mean, they've taxed Saros like you wouldn't believe. And if he doesn't put up a perfect game, you know, right now, they're not going to win. So I just think it's something that, you know, they've got to correct. And you look at that Carolina game, they come out extremely hard in the first period, outplay Carolina, and then they end up, you know, Carolina pushes back. They end up scoring a goal in the first period, and that was it. So,
Mace, you know, we had John Hines on last week, and he hinted at the possibility, you know, that they were considering, you know, giving David Rittich one of these games, which of course would be tonight's game. We were just kind of talking about that. Like, I can see how, you know, even though the workload hasn't been condensed yet, it is coming, and this is a huge week after this game tonight. And of course, you've also got just the emotion for him, for UC Saros, with his mentor, you know, having his moment, everything like that. What do you think about the idea of giving him a few days here, if that's what Hines decides to do today, and putting Rittich in goal tonight?
Yeah, I honestly wouldn't hate that. I thought maybe Carolina would be, you know, an opportunity to do that. This is certainly an opportunity to give him a break. But I just think, you know, you said it's not maybe physically or that they've had enough rest. That's been the argument before, but I just think mentally you get taxed and it's tough. You know, you're going game in and game out and, you know, he gives up, you know, however many goals, 4 goals last game, and he plays well. You know, it's not like you look at any of those goals and he's not playing well. I think if he were to do that, even though he could easily just go back to Soros because he's your best, I think that would be a good decision just to let him clear his mind, let him just recover, take a night off mentally so he doesn't have to go through the whole, you know, game day routine, which is very taxing mentally, and it starts, you know, when you have this much time in between games, 2 days before, and then the night before, or day before, it's a whole process as well. So I think it would be a good decision. Whether he does that or not, we'll see. You know, and plus you're playing Florida. I'm not saying you're going to lose or anything like that, but you're playing one of the top opponent in the Eastern Conference, and this might be an opportunity for, you know, the guys to kind of wake up and say, all right, guys, we got to bear down and get back to our defensive style of game and protect Riddick as well, because he hasn't played in quite some time.
See, Mace, obviously you know Pekka really well and, you know, really good friends with him off the ice. You played with him on the ice. What do you think Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena is going to be like when his jersey gets retired?
Oh, man. I just, you know, there's just certain moments I think that you just, when somebody that quality of a person gets recognized and you know that there's that mutual love between, you know, the fans and Pekka and the fans, and it's just such an unbelievable relationship, and it's very rare. And when you have, I think, an athlete who's been as open and as honest, as genuine as he has, there's I think a special connection, you know, I think to everybody, to you guys, obviously, you know, I'm friends with Pekka, but to the fans. And I just think it's going to be a moment where you can, you know, just step back. And, you know, that's why people love sports, is because, you know, they love people, and he's one of the best. So I think it's going to be, just an amazing night. And I honestly can't wait. I don't know what to, you know, I don't know exactly what the whole ceremony is going to be like, but I know people probably should invest in some Kleenex.
Yeah,
no, I will.
No, it's gonna be really cool, and of course there's a luncheon. But also, CMS, I'm excited to check out this Frozen Moments 1 hour special you did. I think that airs tonight for the first time, right? And then it's gonna air a few times this week. What all went into that? When did you guys sit down for this, and what can we expect to see on that?
Well, it was really cool, actually. You know, the Preds production crew did a great job. We gathered a lot of photos and, you know, video clips throughout his career and life, and got him to talk about him, you know, when he first, you know, came over to North America, you know, certain moments in his playing career, matches that he had, what went behind that, what was it like playing for Finland, and just certain teammates. And it's pretty cool to, you know, to hear him and see his reaction when he sees the pictures, because he doesn't know when they're coming. They come up, and, you know, you either get a chuckle or you can tell it's you know, a pretty emotional moment. So it's really neat. And just to hear him, you know, talk about it himself, which is hard to do, but he's talking about his experiences, and it was really, really awesome. Really well done too by that crew.
See, Mace, last thing for you here. What are you seeing right now in the defensive zone for the Predators, and what in particular do you think needs to get better as they go through the rest of this week here?
I feel, for me, it starts in the offensive zone. I feel, you know, sometimes they're getting caught with guys kind of moving forward a little bit, and I think we talked about this before. I think because they're having a lot of offensive success, I think they're kind of pushing forward a little bit and maybe staying in the fight in the offensive zone a little longer. And maybe, you know, obviously the first four, the F1's got to get in there, and the F2 comes in for support, but the F3's got to stay higher, you know, especially if you don't have possession yet, to allow the defenseman to pinch down the wall if that puck gets rimmed around, you know, to kind of keep that puck in and give yourself the best chance of getting the possession back. And I feel sometimes you're getting the forwards caught down a little low, the defenseman comes down, and all of a sudden then it's a scramble, you know, if that puck gets out or by that by the defenseman, and you end up getting odd man rushes, or, you know, guys get back, but you end up defending too long because the other team gets the puck and then they play on your end. So for me, it's that's where it starts, is the job on the forecheck and keeping pucks in the offensive zone. But, you know, I don't know. And, you know, Borowiecki, I don't know if he's back in, I'm assuming, or if he'll be in tonight. I'm assuming he won't based on last game. But, you know, this is going to be a massive challenge for this team. And I hopefully, you know, I'm sure they went back to the drawing board and looked at some of those things. You'll have, you know, someone coming in, so the defense core looks a little different. And, you know, you need your forwards to help out defensively as well. They're just as important. So that's one thing that I really think that has to be what they shore up the most.
Well, see, Mace, we're looking forward to the game, looking forward to the broadcast tonight as well. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. Chris Mason brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what C-Mace had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Also, Joe Rexroad is mad as heck, and he doesn't care who knows it. We'll get to that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, I saw this list that ESPN put out yesterday of this NBA 75th anniversary. You know, they did this big, you know, spiel the other night at the All-Star game in the NBA with, you know, some of the top players in league history. Michael Jordan was there, hamming it up with LeBron and all these other people. It was a cool scene to see all the NBA legends out there together on the court. ESPN came out with their list yesterday of the, I guess, top 76. They, for some reason, did one more. 76 basketball legends that are on their list. And you have an issue with the top 10. I've got issues with several things on this list, and we'll get to some of those coming up here in just a few minutes. But the top 10 has upset you. What's going on this list that has you bent out of shape?
Well, no, there's one thing that's out of the top 10 that has me actually mad. But it's the same crap. The same old crap. John Stockton at 24 and Isaiah Thomas at 27. John Stockton couldn't hold a part of Isaiah Thomas's jock. He could never guard him one day of his entire life, which he said when Isaiah introduced him in the Basketball Hall of Fame, by the way. He was honest about it, at least. It's a joke. It's not close. And, I mean, if you want to go by, like, first of all, I mean, did two championships and no championships mean anything? Because one of them has two titles. One of them has none. I mean, Stockton did average 10.5 assists per game to Isaiah's 9.3. Isaiah also averaged 19.9 points a game to his 13. Does that matter? Does anything matter? I mean, we can compare some players in the same era when they played against each other. It's not close. Anyway.
Is Isaiah in your top five?
Well, with Isaiah, I've always said about him, and yes, I'm absolutely biased, but I don't care. I'm right, too. He's the greatest little man to play, so greatest player under 6'4". However, you know, they put Steph at – where they put Steph? At 16. And I knew – and so, I'm willing to concede, and certainly by the time he's done – that Steph Curry would take that title from Isaiah. And it's a totally different kind of player, of course. Best shooter of all time. He's a champion, too. So I would concede that Isaiah is the second best sub-6'4 player in the history of the league. John Stockton ahead of him, you should all be embarrassed. All be just humiliated by that take. And yet it's just a consistent, oh, yeah, look at all the assists. Oh, wow, he had 12 assists, and 8 of them were lob post entries to Karl Malone. Awesome. Anyway, for the top 10, I have some issues. First of all, number one, I'm going LeBron over Jordan. That's me. I think
it's – oh, boy. You're going to get people fired up with that one.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you can't say it's not arguable, can you?
Oh, it's arguable.
Yeah, that's fine. So if it's arguable, that's my argument. I think it's very close. I think LeBron James has done more over his career, and I know the Jordan slappies will lose their minds on that. Also, I would put Magic Johnson 3 over Kareem. You know, you have to give Kareem's longevity and his the production are, you know, incredible. But and this is where, look, I'm not old enough to have watched him in Milwaukee, okay? But the Showtime Lakers, he was a nice guy you could throw the ball into in the post, and he was a good center, and Magic Johnson was the best player in the NBA for many, many years. So there is some bias in what I watched. I mean, he was clearly the best player, you know, for those dominant championship teams. So I would flip-flop that. And then I also would not have Kobe Bryant that low. I would have Kobe over Tim Duncan. I would have Kobe over Larry Bird. And you know, I would have Oscar Robertson over Tim Duncan and Larry Bird too. So those guys are 9-10. I think those guys should move up, and Duncan and Bird should be down.
I was kind of surprised to see Tim Duncan in the top 10. Like, Tim Duncan, great player, obviously. Hall of Famer. One of the best players ever. Is he top 10? I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, of course, Shaq is 11.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think I'd have Duncan. I think I'm good with Duncan at 10 right now, just over Shaq. That's also one of those things. You know, we all have our biases. My thing with Shaq has always been, like, he could have been the greatest basketball player of all time, period.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of why he and Kobe had conflicts, right? And I just, to me, I less prefer the overachiever, the you know, and the Jordan type, the LeBron type, who finds every last edge and point and assist and does everything to be great, versus someone like Shaq, who we all love Shaq, but, you know, he could have been better. Maybe work on those free throws and don't make Kazam. I don't know.
They've got Giannis at number 18 already.
Whew.
He's 27 years old. Is that – then I kind of feel like it's a little high. Like, he's great, don't get me wrong, but 18? 18th best player of all time already?
It might be a little high. You know, and, of course, Durant's 12. They're both going to – you know, 10 years from now, they'd both be in the top 10. And also, I think Hakeem Olajuwon's a little bit disrespected here. Hakeem the Dream, man, at 13. To me, you're talking 22 and 11 in his career, a couple titles. I think the best post moves, post score ever. You know, I think I'd put him over Duncan. Actually, get Duncan out of the top 10. You talk me into it.
Thomas on the text line has brought up what is, in my opinion, by far the most absurd part of this list, and I tweeted about it yesterday. But Thomas on the text line says, I agree with Joe about Stockton and Thomas, but how can Chris Paul be ranked higher than Dwayne Wade? That's preposterous. Thanks, guys. It's an absolute joke. Dwayne Wade's at number 30 on the list, which, first off, I think there's a lot of disrespect to Dwayne Wade out there, but that's fine. They've got Chris Paul at number 29, one spot ahead of Dwayne Wade. In what universe is Chris Paul better than Dwayne Wade? Like, what are these people smoking? It's ridiculous to me. Chris Paul, I've made my feelings clear about him. I don't particularly like Chris Paul. He's a great player. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best point guards of all time. Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade should not even belong in the same conversation.
Yeah, well, and I think, I mean, my guess is their answer would be just the longevity. You know, he's the first guy with 20,000 points and 10,000 assists. The longevity is tremendously impressive. But I agree. I mean, Dwayne Wade, because I think some of this also, that's kind of like the Kareem thing for me. You know, Kareem, great player, but you know, longevity is a big part of where he is. Like, Dwayne Wade, for an extended stretch at his best, absolutely better than Chris Paul at any point in his career. So that would be my tiebreaker. I'd put Chris Paul, I don't know, somewhere in the 40s.
And there's also the, you know, the three championships in there too.
Elijah Campbell feels different. He goes, I'd take Chris Paul any day.
Oh, you're going to start something right as the show ends, huh, Elijah?
I mean, just an insane take.
Let me tell you something. You better raise both arms to the ceiling when I say it's a joke that Isaiah Thomas is ranked behind John Stockton. Can I get an amen? Oh, you are. Oh, I'm going to break something in this studio. All right, we got to end the show so I can go fight Elijah.
Scottie Pippen coming in at number 32 on the list. Do we think he comes out with another book? Just going after the ESPN rankings. Scottie Pippen at 32.
God, you know what? I must say, man, I think that's a little low for him. He was always going to suffer from playing with Jordan, but God, he was a hell. And again, it's like in your era, you know, Scottie Pippen was a unicorn in 1988 as a 6'8", three-point shoot, like a D&3 6'8 guy with that kind of athleticism, you know? And I just think his numbers also, you could say, yeah, benefit from playing with Jordan, but also I think they suffered some from playing with Jordan.
Kelton texting in says, no Robert Horry, 7 championships. Come on, best 6th man ever.
Big shot, Bob.
I don't know that he belongs in the top 75 players of all time.
Yeah, he doesn't, but big shot, Bob. Hit big shots, man.
Oh, yeah.
Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah.
Leave him unguarded. Go double the inbounder, Rasheed. Okay.
Yeah. Kyle texting in says, dude, if Allen Iverson had the pieces Isaiah Thomas had on his team, he would have had much better numbers than him. No question. This is coming from Kyle on the text.
Well, Allen Iverson was a better scorer than Isaiah Thomas for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's no doubt about that. You know, I mean, Allen Iverson, where is he on here?
He's 31, right behind Wade.
Yeah, that's probably.
Also, AI, you got to go look at his fashion from the All-Star game. Looked
it's
great.
Quite
he
something.
Had like 3 just thick chains on. Got to love AI.
Well, he was sitting there. He was talking to Reggie Miller, those guys. And I, like, at first I was like, wait a minute, who is that? Because he's put a pound or two on in the last few years. But Iverson was amazing. I mean, no doubt about it. You're talking about, 27 points a game, man. For a career. It's just a different kind of, you know, different kind of player. He's not as good as Isaiah, but he's close.
All right, Joe, before we get out of here.
Get out of here with your John Stockton crap, Elijah. I'm so mad. Okay, what's that?
Oh, I'm mad, too, about Dwayne Wade. Before we get out of here.
Let's leave the show mad.
is Aaron Rodgers going to crush my heart today? Does he retire? Does he leave the Packers? Does he say anything at all today? Because everybody thinks he's going to. What do you think happened?
I think he was trolling. So I think you're going to be happy at the
end
of the year. Retires. Yeah? He's out? I think he's trolling, and I think he's going to be with the Packers next year.
Shailene Woodley on the sideline with him?
Let's
Everything
hope.
Is repaired?
I mean, it sounds lovely.
We'll see what happens. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Rex Road is going to lead the show and get after Elijah Campbell now in
he's
studio.
Big,
we'll be back
me,
6 a.m. tomorrow. Yes. Darren Donick and Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.